I don't know if you watched last Sunday, but we taught on part one of look and live, look and live. And we talked about the bronze serpent. And so let's go to Numbers 21. And we may repeat some things, but that's okay. Do you know I like ribeye steak? And I maybe ate some a couple weeks ago, and I like to eat it again. So we just need to keep eating the word and feeding on it, meditating on it. And it says to observe, to do it in Joshua, doesn't it? So as pastors, we're not afraid to say the same thing again.
That's right.
Because we don't always get it the first time. Is that right, Chris? We don't always get it the first time, do we? Amen. Not that I was insinuating anything, but anyway, moving right along. I guess this is just pick on people that you love day. So Numbers 21, the king of Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road to Etherim. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them in their cities. So the name of that place was called Hormah, which means utter destruction. And we talked about that. It says that they made a vow unto the Lord. And that word vow means a promise.
Yes.
And don't get concerned about that word. There was a time in my life I thought, oh, if I just make another vow, if I make another promise and then I don't keep it, you know, God's going to strike me down with a lightning bolt. But that is so not true. He is merciful. I think that the example of the Israelites show us how merciful God was. And it came to the place where even Moses got so upset at them. We even see that Moses and Aaron died early and didn't get to go into the land. Why? Because they got upset at the people and God wanted mercy. And there are times when Moses would pray for mercy. We'll talk about that a little bit to understand how that all went down. But on verse 2, so Israel made a vow to the Lord. That just means keeping his promises. And it says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we could read that and amplify it. It says, his way of being and doing right. So we know that righteousness is inside of us. We know that we are righteous because of the Spirit of Christ who lives inside of us. The grace of God, we are righteous. But how many know that sanctification is righteousness coming on the outside? Sanctify yourselves unto me. And that's what the Lord said to Moses. Sanctify yourselves. Sanctify the children of Israel. What do you mean? Set yourselves apart and do right. And keep your vows. Keep your promises. So when we've missed it, we just get back up. If we have missed it, we get back up. And one of our redemptive rights is forgiveness of sin. We've been delivered from spiritual death in that we didn't receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that was the sin. But when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and then we start living for him because of that grace within that helps us live for him, and we understand that we tell people, don't come and make all these promises, Lord, I'm going to live for you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. Just receive Jesus.
Yes, come on.
And then he will give you, that grace will come inside of you, and you'll be able to do everything you need to do. But then we've got to hook our mouth up with that faith inside. Every person inherent in the seed of grace in your heart is faith, is love, is peace, is gentleness, is kindness, is moderation, whatever you need. Well, Pastor, I like pie, so I want two or three pieces. Well, you have got the grace inside to say no, don't you? And I'm not preaching to you because obviously I've had a few too many. But anyway, and we're working on it. We're working on it. It's a gradual process, right? So in our redemptive realities, He has redeemed us from spiritual death in that we didn't receive Christ, but then we come and we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And with that, as Christians, we come and receive forgiveness.
Yes.
So our redemptive right is forgiveness. You don't have to live in condemnation, my friend. Take hold of the mercy of God. Know that these Israelites, they went around that desert for 40 years. Now, let me tell you, by this time, everybody that was 20 years or older was not going into the promised land. Do you remember back in Numbers 14? Yeah. Do you remember that? And they complained and they griped and they got mad at Moses, and which they did over and over and over and over. And the Lord said, all those who are 20 and older are not going into the promised land. You know, they were complaining, saying, well, our children are going to die in the desert. He'd say, well, the very children that you said are going to die in the desert, I'm going to let them go in the promised land. You're not. So understand that even with all of that, God still was there with them. He gave them rock. He gave them water out of the rock. We see that first he gave them, they were in a particular place. I'd have to go back and get the names there. And the water was bitter. So what did they, well, God said, throw a tree into that water, and the water became sweet, and they were able to drink. And then there was another time where God said, strike the rock. So he struck the rock, and water came out, and they were able to drink in the midst of the desert. I mean, it gets dry. Sometimes, and we feel like we're in the desert, but there's never a time that God won't provide water for you. There's never a time, and really, he's already provided healing for you. He's already provided forgiveness for you. He's already provided freedom from oppression in your mind. But these are things we've got to believe in our heart and hook up with our mouth, and that's what we were talking about first. And then thirdly, he's redeemed us from poverty and lack. So he's forgiven us, he's redeemed us from spiritual death, he's redeemed us from sickness and disease, and he's redeemed us from poverty and lack, from destruction.
Amen.
Anything in your life, and you might say, oh, that's nice, Pastor Debbie, and you may have heard that over and over, but as you meditate on these things, as you look at it, and we'll talk about that, what that means to us, when we're really looking at God's word to answer our questions, and then as we use our faith and we start speaking out, we believe that we receive. We just take it from his hand, just like if Maya, if I came up and said, could I have that book? And I believe that I receive it. Maybe in the natural realm, it doesn't look like I have it yet. But in the spirit realm, I have it by faith. Faith is the substance of things that are what?
Hope
for, expected. That's not a worldly hope. That's a godly expectation. And we are expecting to see God's work on our behalf. We're expecting to see that manifest in this natural realm.
That's right.
My friend, you've got to believe that you receive it in the spirit realm. And then you, because just God gives his children good gifts.
He sure does.
He doesn't turn us away. Well, I've sinned, I've done this wrong, I've done the other. That's sin consciousness. And God never brings your sin up to you to dog you. That actually is your own heart that is condemning you. But God, by the Holy Spirit, is saying, convicting you, saying, yes, you do need to get this right. Take hold of my word and get it right. Get back up. And he's never punishing us. It's always us opening the door to the destroyer, to the destroyer that brings punishment, which God will allow. Even he allowed it with his people. Why? Because of their mouths, because of their complaining, because they weren't trusting in God. Yeah. So anyway, we said a lot there, but a vow. Let's go to Exodus 23, 25 says, Exodus 23, 25, so you shall serve the Lord your God. See, that's a vow. Serving God, keeping his promises and saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Lord means controller.
That's right.
He will bless your bread and water, and I will take, see, he makes it personal. I will take sickness away from the midst of you. So we have a covenant, right? They had a covenant, and God is merciful. If he was merciful to these Israelites,
right.
How much more in this day of grace through faith is he merciful to his children?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. They were servants, we are children. But he loved them, he took care of them. And he wanted to bring utter destruction of anything that would try to harm them or hurt them, even though most of them weren't even going into the promised land. Did you know that God is merciful to us for a period of time, even when we're in our sin? Do you know, I'm going to say this, do you know there are people watching from live stream that won't come to church, but they'll watch on live stream, and because they're ashamed of their lifestyle. But they're getting things on live stream, and I'm blessed that they're watching. But it says, forsake not the assembling together of the believers. So we need people to understand you've got to come in to the house of God in the midst of your sin.
That's right. Amen.
Come anyway. Nobody's here condemning you. You need to be here in order for this anointing to work on your behalf. And there comes a time and place where it's not going to work for you on live stream.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because he said, seek me first.
Yes.
So we do have to put into practice what his word says so it can work for us. And young people, young Christians in the Lord can get away with some things. And it's not like God's there with the club wanting to hit you over the head. If we have that mentality, then Satan will join and say, well, here, let me give you a bigger club and hit you over the head. So people, come to church.
Yes.
Come to the fellowship of the believers. Even when Pastor Jay and I are doing the live stream from Cedar Rapids or doing the live stream from here, remote feeds, come and fellowship with the believers. Understand that there's an anointing in the house of God and you're getting to know other believers. And there are things going on here that are not going on in your living room.
Right.
Although there are those who... may have needed, are dealing with symptoms or something like that. So there's no condemnation, you understand. But I'm talking about those of you who, service after service, I actually see you comment, I see different things, but I'm saying come on in. Come on in. Nobody's condemning you. Amen. So in verse 4, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged. So I really want to hone in on that. So we're in Numbers 21, verse 4. And the soul of the people became very discouraged. So that meant impatient. And also we'll look it up there in the Hebrew. They loathed, they became impatient, vexed, grieved, shortened. What does that mean? Short on faith and courage is what that means. And the soul of the people became very discouraged. There are times when we have so many victories in our life. And I tell you, Satan, he wants to be a good devil. So he'll come right after those victories and he will try to get us discouraged.
Yes, he will.
And we so soon forget many times the victories that we just came through. How many of you, God just did a major miracle in your finances, maybe at one time, or two or three or four or several times, and then you had a week of, well, if money was water, it's dry. And you were getting discouraged, and you get anxious. And it's like, well, is this tithing stuff? All these thoughts were coming to you. And you have to do like I've done before. That's not my thought. The enemy will bring you thoughts of this tithing stuff won't work. It's only if you turn it over in your mind, like my pastor, Pastor Nancy, says, when you turn it over in your mind and you start talking that thought, then you make it your own. Well, you want to rebuke those thoughts. You want to tell the devil, you take your thoughts and get out of here. Because he'll start saying, you're going to live with this sickness for the rest of your life. You've got to answer that. And I just want to say right now, if you've dealt with sickness and disease, whether it's one day, whether it's 5 years, whether it's 10 years, whether it's 20 years, there is no condemnation, but there are causes. There are reasons why it may take too long. So we need to ask the Lord rather than say, well, the pastor doesn't have it anymore. you know, he used to lay hands on me, and I don't, you know, used to work for me, but, well, nothing's happened. I don't know about that healing stuff. And these thoughts come, and we've got to answer them. But my friend, in the midst of any sickness, in the midst of any symptom, in the midst of anything that comes your way, pull the word out of your heart. It's there. Get your Bible out. Go to Isaiah 53, 3 through 5 there. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Freedom from oppression. And by his stripes we are healed. And we go through the thread there of healing and wholeness. Clear to 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Is that 1 Peter, 2 Peter? Yeah. Let's just go there. It's 1 Peter, right? Yeah. And I always get that one mixed up with he was wounded. And it's like, okay, does it say we were or we are? Okay, well, I mean, it's the same thing, but I like to say it just the same way. Yes, I've been reading that for years. It's not new to me. But we need to go back over it. Yes. It says in verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body. He bore our sickness too, didn't he? Yes. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. If you were, you are.
Yes. That's right.
So say, I am.
I am.
I am healed. I am whole. I have a covenant right.
Yes.
I am serving God. I am putting him first. I am seeking first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And my friend, if there's something in your life that you need to change, give it to God and let the grace of God help you out of that thing.
Amen.
Let the grace of God help you get rid of habits.
Yes.
Let the grace of God help you. And we'll go to Romans chapter 8. And we'll see how the grace of God can help you. And we'll get back to our key scripture there. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And we'll read in verse 1, Romans 8, 1, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You just need to turn toward God.
Yes.
You need to turn toward him.
Yeah.
Stop looking back.
Come on.
Don't go backwards. Just look to him.
Yes.
And we just say, Father, forgive me.
Yes.
If you missed it, don't be looking under every bush or under, you know, where did I miss it?
Yeah.
Just say, Father, if there's anything I need to know, if there's anything I need to see, help me see that. But in the midst of that, constantly be speaking, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed.
Yeah.
You're lined up with the word of God. You're healed. You're whole.
Yes.
Body,
yes.
Lungs, you're
yes.
cleared.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We're healed. We're whole. We're full of life. And God says, let the joy of the Lord be your strength.
Yes.
There have been times I've been in a doctor's office or something, and I'll be honest with you. Sometimes there was one point in my life, it's like I was dealing with so many things, and they came and said, you're dealing with this. Have you ever been there, done that? And I just had to laugh. And most people, and I noticed some people were kind of dragging their head, you know. I'm healed.
Amen.
I'm whole. God, show me what I need to do and what I need to change. And it's usually because I wasn't getting enough rest.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I was
eating
crummy food or something like that. And I just had to make some lifestyle changes. I was working against myself. Because God's word is working in us and his power is working in us, but he's given us wisdom.
Yes.
And I believe in this age of the internet and what have you, it's showing us what is in our foods and processed sugars and things like this. And we got to get a clue, you know, how gluten puts holes in your stomach. And well, bless God, I'm not going to speak that. You don't have to. You don't have to speak that. It's a natural thing. It happens. But I will say this. God is merciful.
Yes.
So I told my husband, I've made other comments, I'm not going to say I can't eat this or I can't do this.
Thank you.
Because there are times when I don't have any choice.
Yeah.
you know, when you've been on the road.
Yeah.
And or somebody feeds you something. But then other times there, I do have choices. And other times I'm led by the Spirit, don't.
Yeah.
You know, you've been eating donuts and stuff like that every day, and you got to quit it. The Holy Ghost is saying, you know, you're going against your faith. You're working against yourself. You're calling your body healed, and that's working against you. And God made it, our bodies are so amazing. They're so, and if we will tap in to just believing in the process that God gave us with our body, but then first and foremost, tap into that power that lives within you and goes throughout your, and it's working. It's working in me. So stay full of joy. Remember, I was back there at the doctor's office, and you know, they just blah, 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 all this stuff. And you just got to laugh.
Yes, you do.
It's like, you know, what am I going to do? Go out of here and cry? You know, and if I were to go to heaven today, I'd be far better. So what's there to cry about? Well, we're not going to heaven today.
Amen.
Amen. We're not going early.
No,
don't be signing out early. You got work to do. You need to help us build this church.
That's right.
You need to help us build this church. Yeah. So there is something to say for learning about the natural things. But let's put God first and let his power work in us first and foremost. Amen? So let's go on there to verse 13, Romans chapter 8. Verse 13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die.
Yeah.
But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So if by the Spirit. You know, spiritual, when it says you will die, it's a process. It's talking about you're opening the floodgates of sickness and disease and all those things that are a part of spiritual death. You're opening the floodgates to the enemy to come in. And you know, so we got to stop that. How do we do? Well, with our mouth, with our authority. Just like Adam, he used his authority. And we, as restored to kingdom rights and the right to be a child of God because of the life of God within us, we have authority now. The windows of heaven are open unto us continually. And we use our authority in Jesus' name. That is the key that we use.
Yeah.
And we've got to remember, no matter what comes against us, no matter what comes our way, and God is so merciful. If we're not dotting every I, if we're not crossing every T just right, it's not through works, but it's through the heart.
Yes.
And Dad Hagin made a statement along the line of, when you learn to respond to your spirit, and something along the line of really, that's when healing comes.
Yeah.
Healing comes really through our spirit man.
Yes, it does.
And we've got to say, we've got to use our authority. There are things sometimes that God will expect us to get right in our life. There are times, but I've told people, never, I've not used all God's mercy and there's none left.
Right.
As a matter of fact, if I get it right and I turn my heart toward him and I put his word first, it's as if I never sinned. And just renewing our minds to that. See, we're the ones that remember. We're the ones that hinder it. We're the ones who would allow condemnation to keep us out. But this scripture here is saying, let the Holy Ghost within you strengthen you to use your authority. Strengthen you to take hold of healing and wholeness. Strengthen you to say no to sickness and disease. It's as if somebody came to your door and they had a box and they knocked on the door and said delivery, and then you saw this little snake coming out of the box. Oh, thank you very much. I'll take that. No. How many in here are going to take that? I don't think so. And sometimes they try to go to the back door.
Yeah.
I mean, however they can get in. No.
Yeah, come on.
No, I'm locking the door. And I'm using my authority in Jesus' name. No, you don't. Mr. Devil. Well, Pastor, what do you do when sickness has already set in? Well, I'm glad you asked. What did he say there in Exodus 23:25? I'll take it out of your midst. He's telling them, serve me. Turn your head toward me. Let go of your past. Let go of sickness and disease thinking. Let go of oppression thinking. Stop crying about it. Stop calling the prayer line saying, I got this sickness.
Yeah, come on now. Come on now. Seriously.
You know, Miss Ann Armstrong, she's in charge of our pastoral care. There's nothing wrong with people calling and letting them know about, you know, I went through this and putting ourselves in agreement. Thank you. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's something wrong when somebody calls and they're crying and they're oppressed. I would understand somebody who's young in the Lord. But my friend, we've got to learn. It's kind of like your parents. They say, look, you're 14 years old now. You're not coming to me like a little baby and crying and saying, I want my passy. I want my passy.
Come on.
Pacifier?
Yeah. Come on.
How many of you, 14-year-old strapping boy, come and they're wanting their pacifier? I don't think so. What about Azariah? Do you do that? No. No. I know exactly what the answer would be if you did. But so many of us think it's okay, and the Israelites came to God and they were complaining and they were crying, and like when we allow soulical oppression in, what happens? You start getting mad at God. Why? Because you're listening to the thoughts. What has God done for you? Remember, clear back. Satan used that on Adam and Eve. He said to Eve, has God said you shouldn't eat from this tree?
Come on.
He deceived them.
Yes, he did.
That's right.
No. The enemy tried to tell them, no, you're going to know like God knows. He doesn't want you to eat from that tree. My friend, we've got to stop listening to what the devil says. Go to the Word. And we've heard, we know what God says. Jesus bore my sickness. He carried my pains. We understand that. If we come to him in faith and say, Father, I receive healing by faith, just like a child would come, just like any age child would come to their father and say, hey, could I have that? Or you just say, I just take it by faith because it's already been provided through Christ, right? I mean, if the bank called you up and said, Aunt Gertrude left you a house, are you going to say, oh, please, can I have the house? Please, Mr. Banker, please, can I have it? Oh, he's like, shut up. We don't always do that. You understand? Shut up. No, we don't always do that. But he's like, just come get the key and you can get in the house and then go in there and go in the kitchen. It's your house. Go in the kitchen. Get you a coffee maker. Make some Java. Go get you a bed and go in the bedroom and sleep there. It's your home.
Yes.
See, we've got to walk around and we've got to put the scriptures in our house, in our healing house. I got a healing bed.
Yes.
I've got a healing coffee maker.
Yes.
That's right. Yes, we do.
Why? Because I've been meditating on these things and I know what I have.
Yes.
I know what's in my room.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, anyway, let's go back. That was all free. They were discouraged. So it just came up in my spirit. Too many people are still crying, begging, waiting for God to heal them. He's already done it.
He's already done it.
And it says if they want us to take a healing stick and tap them over the head, be healed.
Yeah.
Or like a drive-through window.
Seriously.
Be healed.
Yeah.
You know, I used to be a Wendy's girl. I know what that. I know. When I was younger, when I went to Rhema, I worked at the drive-through window. You know, the little thing. Anyway, I discouraged. And people will call Ann up, and people will call us up and say, I'm dealing with all these symptoms, Pastor. If I called you up as the pastor and started telling you all my stuff, you probably wouldn't want to come to church here anymore.
Come on now.
And it's not as if I'm trying to hide anything from anybody. I'm just saying that I've had to learn to walk in my covenant, and I don't talk about how I feel. I don't talk about all the symptoms I'm dealing with. I don't talk about what the doctor said.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And there are times in my life where I don't have any symptoms. I'm just free. I'm wonderful. Then other times I'm thinking, dear Lord, you know, what's going on here?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, the symptoms are raining cats and dogs. What's going on? But what do I have to do? I've got to stir myself up, and I've got to stir up the joy.
Yes.
I've got to stir up the joy. So we've got to get a hold of ourselves. We've got to get ourselves by the nape of the neck. We've got to remind ourselves. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, because there's something there that they need to understand. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47. Deuteronomy 28:47. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart. I remember Brother Copeland talking about the Lord dealing with him. You're not starting with joy. Or you got to emphasize joy and rejoicing. Thanksgiving. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy. So it says that we're supposed to serve him, put him first, but how do we do that? Joy.
Joy.
Otherwise, it's just a works program.
Right. Come on.
But the joy of there have been times where I just had to get up in the middle of the night, and there was a period of time in my life I was getting up almost every night for about 10 minutes just dancing because I was dealing with certain symptoms. I was in Russia with Pastor Nancy and some other ministers, and I would get up in the morning, and I was dealing with these symptoms, and it didn't feel like I could go, but I just did it by faith, and I would get up in the middle of the night every night, and I'm like, I am in Russia. I am helping Pastor Nancy. I am a child of God. I am not giving in to this stuff. And I didn't miss a beat.
Amen.
I didn't miss a beat. Because I told the devil where to get off. Well, were you trying to make it happen? No, I was yielding to the Spirit of God. I was yielding to rejoicing and thanksgiving. And I was thanking my Father that I'm already healed. So if I'm already healed, I am healed. And that means... I just had to do that. Anyway, move right along. That means, where was I before Brennan interrupted me? I'm already healed. So if I'm, you know, we've all tapered off in the service before. Anyway, move right along. Anyway, well, let's go back to Numbers 21. Verse 5. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Our team has had a long weekend. They drive here and, you know, they're setting up last night and this morning and all that. So anyway, just having fun. Now, verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. So when your soul starts controlling you, and when you're listening to the thoughts of the enemy, you listen to the thoughts of the enemy and you start turning them over in your mind. And what is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So you're allowing your mind to think on what the devil just said, and then it becomes your own thought. Don't go with the deception of it's your thought in the first place. You tell the devil to take his thoughts and get out of here. I mean, dear Lord, at any time you can have some silly, crazy thought that comes to you, and it's not my thought. I didn't think about that. And we've got to get skilled and just ignore it. Speak to it if you have to, if it won't go. If your skill isn't at the place where you can just ignore it and move on, then speak to it. But don't allow it to be turned over in your mind and take that thought as your own, like sickness is mine, or I'm never going to get healed, or you know, I'm always missing it. On the negative, your soul is in control because you have turned the thoughts of the enemy into your own. The soul is in control because you've turned the thoughts of the enemy into your own. And you got to turn it away is what you have to do. Yeah. And the people spake against God and Moses. So that's what happens. They start speaking against the pastor. Well, the pastor doesn't have it anymore. He used to have it. He didn't have it. You know, they start speaking against God. Well, God gave you that pastor.
Seriously.
Yeah.
He takes it personal.
Yes, he does.
When we start talking about the pastor. Yeah. So what about those individuals that will call on the phone? And I'm not saying if you've cried or you've called, you know, Miss Maya on the phone or said that, I'm not thinking of any person in this room. I'm not. I'm just saying that the Lord's been... Actually, I'm thinking more of some people in the Cedar Rapids Church that have been with us for years. And recently, Miss Ann told me, so-and-so called, and they're dealing with this and this, and they were crying about this. I'm like, really? Yeah. And they've left the church two or three times. I don't need to mention names. It's not my heart to embarrass anybody. But they've left the church because they've turned those thoughts over. Yeah. They've been taught. They got mad at us, but I guess they figured that, you know, they'd come back and give us another chance. So they come back again, and then they're calling us on the phone wanting prayer. I don't know why I'm dealing with these things. And you just want to say, I know why. Move right along. But don't do like Moses. You go back there in verse 20, and if you go back to 20, verse 10, Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels."
Yeah.
See, the pastors have to be careful. You bunch of rebels. I mean, you're still dealing with that. No. I'm sure Moses and Aaron had their own stuff. You understand? I mean, you know, you point your finger, you got four pointing right back at you. All right, so, and he hit the rock twice, and specifically God told him hit it once.
Uh-oh.
And that was a type of Christ, so to hit it twice was, wasn't a good thing. Amen. So moving right along, pastors have to be careful not to get angry at their congregation. We're just teaching people not to yield to oppression. We're teaching people in the midst of any sickness, of any disease. You know, we had one individual that wouldn't talk to Ann for almost a day because they were just they had a family member. You know, I'm giving very few details here because it's not my heart to, but they wouldn't talk to her because they were just dealing with the sadness of they had a person in the hospital that you know. And I'm like, what's wrong with that picture? You're allowing oppression and things like that to get in. And I basically emailed Ann back and said, tell them it's all well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell them it's well. That person will come out if they get their mouth right and speak it. And we put ourselves in agreement. It's all going to turn around. It all turned around. And then she was ready to call Ann. We are supposed to be rejoicing ahead of time.
Yes.
We should get on the phone and say, you know what? They came and took my child to the hospital. I just want to let you know everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
He, 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 he.
Yeah.
I just want to let you know that the devil's a liar.
Yeah.
And I just want you to agree with me.
Yes.
It's all going well, and the doctors have wisdom, and the healing power of God's working.
Yes.
But don't be hiding for a day and oppressed. You know better. Some people know better. Others are still learning. We're all learning, you understand, and we've all missed it. So if that's been any person in here, we're growing up.
Amen.
We're growing up. We're encouraging one another in the Lord. So why have you brought us up to Egypt to die in the wilderness? Well, we know that that wasn't the case. God did not bring them, you know, as a matter of fact, in Egypt, that's where they were dying. They had hard taskmasters. There were many of them dying because of all the work they had, the little food they had. So that was deception, gross deception. For there's no food, no water. Well, we just talked about how God was constantly providing them water in the midst of the desert. No food, they're getting manna from heaven. And I always liken it to the best banana nut bread you could ever have. And they were eating that for 40 years, but they were getting tired of it. They were getting tired of it. And it says, my soul. See, their soul had something to do with loathes this worthless bread. I'm reading in the New King James Version. My soul loathes. And what does that mean? Well, to loathe means to be disgusted, be anxious, be distressed, be grieved. This worthless, oh my goodness. So they ill-esteemed, they devalued what God had given them. There was even one point they were complaining about not having meat. So, well, God allowed them to have some meat. And then they got sick. Verse 6. Let's value what God has given us. Let's value first and foremost God in our lives, the Holy Ghost living in our spirit man and working in our bodies. Let's value who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we can do in Christ. Let's value what God has given us. And if we're valuing that, no matter what we've stepped into or out of, we can always get it right with God. And don't walk in condemnation, because you are the righteousness of God. And like I said last week, you can park a Ford into the garage and start calling it a Chevy, but it's still a Ford. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Don't try to call me sick, because I'm healed.
That's right.
You can't make me sick. Because I'm righteous, and in that righteousness means I'm the healed of the Lord, I'm forgiven, I'm prospered. Well, then why are you dealing with symptoms of sickness? Because for some reason, either it's because I'm in the cage with the lion, and I've got to learn that the enemy does come against people, but we've got to learn to use the name of Jesus and tell him to get out of here.
Yes.
He's attacking our righteousness. And he has no right to do that unless we open the door and say, come on. He's attacking our body. He can't get to your righteousness, but he's trying. He can't get there. He's attacking your body. He's attacking your mind. He cannot take your righteousness from you. And if you will use your righteousness of who you are in Christ and rejoice in the Lord and remember who you are and what you have and start speaking it out. And if the Holy Ghost says, you know what, this thing, you need to tweak that or you need to do this, we do it. We do it. Just like a child. They live in a home. They have a mom and dad. But if they fall, are they going to be thrown out of the house? Are you going to stop feeding them?
No.
I don't think so. But for some reason, we think that God is going to throw us out of the kingdom. When we miss it. And that's condemnation, sin consciousness thinking. No matter what habit, no matter what sin, no matter what thing that you've yielded to, if you will give it to God, he will help you by the Holy Ghost within you. There's an anointing in here today. I'm having unction.
Yes.
I mean, just I'm about ready to go in tongues. I'm so excited. Praise the Lord. But if I preach it in tongues, then you're not going to understand what I'm saying. So, all right. If you didn't understand that, that's all right. I'm given to tongues, interpretation of tongues many times, so I get inspired and I'm just shunned that up. Okay. Hallelujah. So we're almost ready. You can go eat your sandwich or. All right. Verse 6. So the Lord sent fiery serpents. That word is allowed. There's no permissive verb in the Bible. So it's allowed. The Lord allowed fiery serpents among the people. Now those, and it was a bronze serpent, and that signified sin. But they had to come and acknowledge we've missed it.
Yes.
And it was a type. It was the false. But it was a type of Christ. Christ is the gold. What do we have today? We have Christ. And I'm getting ahead of myself there. And many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. See, they acknowledged that. For we have spoken against the Lord and against you. The thing is, skilled Christians, when we see it ahead of time and we don't go that direction. In other words, don't even yield to that thought. Don't let it turn over your mind. Don't take that thought. They didn't have to take that thought. They didn't have to start berating Moses and talking against God. No, they let their mind and their mouth go away. And they allowed that grievance inside of them. It wasn't God's fault. They didn't have to turn that over in their mind. They didn't have to start saying that. They could have started talking about how, remember when God gave, remember that tree that God had them throw into the water and it made the bitter water sweet? Remember that time that Moses struck the rock and we had the water? If they would have just remembered what they already had and said, Moses, we need some water. You know, we're out of water. So we know God's going to provide it. Rather than coming and complaining because of the thoughts of the enemy that they were listening to. So it says in verse 7 that we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Well, it's good that they acknowledge that. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Understand that we are the ones that use our authority today. They didn't have the authority. Moses was a liaison and he would go to God for them. But we have the authority. We are the ones that use our authority and tell the sickness, the disease. We are the ones that speak to the rock and tell it, water, come. We are the ones, if there's something lacking in our life, that we get the word of God and the promise along that line, and we use our faith and start speaking it out, and it will come to pass. We don't have to have the pastor go do it for us. We don't need Moses back here today. All right? Now, verse 8, then the Lord said to Moses, and understand that sometimes young Christians don't understand all these principles so the pastor can get certain things for them. You know, Maya and Andre can get some things for this. Others in the church can agree with you and get some things. But we're teaching you how to get it because of who you are in Christ. And then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be, everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So there you go. Look and live. What are you looking at today? Why don't you stand up? Look and live. Attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. And what are they? They're life. They're quickening power. They're refreshing. If we will look at God's word and we will start getting the scriptures that promise us, and Father, in Jesus' name, I receive. I receive your promise of healing for my body. I receive your promise for prosperity. Now, we've got to make some changes sometimes. We need to be tithers and giving the first 10%. That's from the beginning of time there. You understand? He said, there's got to be food in my house. And there are certain principles. He said, give me the best. And I'm giving you all the 90%, the rest of it. And if we will put into practice and make the vow in the first place, he will bring utter destruction. That power that's within you will utterly move throughout your body and take sickness and disease out.
Yes, it will.
Amen.
As farmers of prosperity, we commission the angels to go forth and to bring all the blessings of God in. And we just speak it constantly. And we thank God that we have the church buildings. We thank God that we have the money. We thank God that everything that we're lacking, we thank God for care packages every day. Hallelujah. We thank him that we're able to pay our rent. We thank him that we're able to move into a new home if that's what we need. We thank him for a new car, a new bicycle, whatever you need. Amen. I wasn't pointing to Maya. I was pointing to, you know, Azariah there. Then the Lord said. So they had to acknowledge their sin, get it right, And then God brought that serpent on a pole, that bronze serpent, which was a type of Christ, that if they would look at it and stop looking at all the things around them, stop listening to the enemy, stop listening to other people griping and complaining, and just, you know, he had to get them to shut up and look at the pole. Just be quiet. Look at the pole, and if you say anything, it better be in line with God's word.
Yes.
Always look to God's word. Speak God's word. If you miss it, get back up and thank you, Lord, that your word says, I'm forgiven. And you just, you don't miss a beat. You just go ahead. You know, if you've believed God for, and we're stopping here. I just thought I'd let you sit. You can sit down just for a minute. If you've had hands laid on you, or you've believed God for healing and that sickness and disease left, and then you got away from God and symptoms came back, because many times that does happen if we open the door to it, or maybe in another area. How many know that all you have to do is go to the throne of grace and say, Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You don't have to embellish for 20 days. You don't have to take a cross on your back and go up the hill. You understand? You don't have to do penance. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying you don't have to do that. Christ did it for you. You don't have to fight. Christ fought for you. If you're dealing with sickness and disease, if you're dealing with symptoms, if you're dealing with oppression in your mind, if you're dealing with anything that the enemy has tried to bring against you, my friend, just get it turned around by not looking back, only looking at his word and speaking his word. Regardless of how you feel, regardless of the thoughts, regardless of anything else, and rejoice.
Rejoice.
I mean, you don't always laugh in the face of the doctor, but sometimes when you leave, it's like, oh, really? They told me I'm going to die back there. I'm not saying anybody told me I'm going to die, but I'm just, maybe you've been there. They told me I'm going to die, Miss Kim. they don't understand my covenant.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't understand us
that's
anyway.
Right.
You know, they don't get us. You can stand up. Praise the Lord. And then we'll read verse 9. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. He was quickened. He was refreshing. That's what that word means. He lived. He lived. And sometimes you just gotta in the face of intimidation say, I'm living. I'm moving. I'm pressing forward. I'm in the plan of God. Even when you haven't been. Now I am. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you. Why don't you bow your heads and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for unction that you've given us. We look and we live. And anybody in this room, Father, that has been discouraged because of symptoms they've dealt with, we thank you for helping us to see what to do. Stop looking at the symptoms. Stop looking at the pains. Stop looking at the things that the enemy has said or the pains that he's brought on us. Believe that we receive healing and health, who we are in Christ. Believe that we have a healing covenant, that we are the healed of the Lord, and we go our way saying, thank you, Lord, we're healed. Thank you, Lord, we're healed. Even before we see it, even before we feel it. Thank you, Lord. We're free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Do we have a song? Do you know that? Thank you for the stripes. Do you know that one? Yeah. Well, anyway, something like that. Something in line with the sermon. Praise the Lord. Are you excited today about the Word of God? Did you get anything today? I got some good stuff. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am here. Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am here.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank Him.
Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am healed. You took my sickness, you took my shame. All of it was laid.
We're going to sing that first verse one more time.
You took my sickness, you took my pain, all of it was laid on you. You took my sorrow, you took my shame, that is what love would do.
Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the strength you took for me.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. If there's anybody in this room today and they'd like us to lay hands on them with that tangible healing anointing, you can come forward and I will minister to you with that anointing. Several years ago, God dealt with me to step out and use that anointing that He'd put on my life in that ministry gift. Jesus told His disciples to go and use that power to lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, knew what they needed to do. And I'm saying to you that if you come up here today and I will lay hands on you, and by faith you can receive. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So you still use your faith, but it's just that tangible anointing that's on this ministry gift that I'd be ministering to you. So if you would like to come up, make your way up here, and amen. Praise the Lord. So what are we dealing with here?
He said I have my triglycerides are high.
Okay. All right. Father, we thank you for the wisdom of God of any changes that need to be made, but we minister that anointing to drive out sickness, disease, abnormality that's causing this problem in any way, shape, or form, and to change it by the power of God in Jesus' name. Anointing went right into you.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. What are we dealing with?
Blood pressure.
High blood pressure. Father, we thank you. You mind just putting your hands out there to me? We thank you, Father, for the power of God. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Went right into you, sir. Thank you, Lord. And we agree, Father, anything, the wisdom of God that he needs to know in the natural, but we thank you that that power is working in him, driving out sickness, disease, causing that blood pressure to be stabilized and normalized in the name of Jesus. Amen. What is it, Lorenzo?
Joint pain, neck.
Okay. Father, we thank you for the power of God that is working in Lorenzo right now. We thank you for the anointing of God that is ministered to him, driving out sickness and disease, anything he would need to see or any changes need to make. But Father, we have a covenant in that healing power. We say, be free in the name of Jesus. Went right into you. Miss Donna, are we just standing with you? We thank you, Lord, that that anointing that is here right now continues to work in her, driving out sickness, disease, abnormality. We thank you, Father. And Lord, as those thoughts come to her that you're not healed, you're not this, you're not that, that she can just use her authority and say, no, I've already been healed. It doesn't matter about this oxygen I'm carrying. It doesn't matter about symptoms I've dealt with. I call my body healed and whole, and you see yourself free. You see yourself free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Why don't you just lift your hands and thank God?
Thank you for the stripes.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the stripes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't you just lift your hands one more time and thank him in this place that the anointing of God is working in here today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. We're going to sing that first verse one more time and sing this with us. Amen.
You took my pain. All of it was laid on you. You took my sorrow. You took my shame. That is what love would do.
Yes, that's what love would do.
Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you for the stripes you took for me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's been wonderful. Amen. It's been wonderful. Thank God. He's just so merciful, and he's so wonderful. And he's our Father. The anointing of God is within us, but there's been a corporate anointing here ministering, and I trust that you received and just got light and understanding. Just go with that. Just keep meditating on what God's shown you and continue to grow in those things. And those of you that hands were laid on you, you thank God that you're healed and whole. And the only reason that I say if there's any natural thing you need to know, so many times there are some tweaks there we need to make, but you know what? First and foremost, we thank God that it's the power of God that is working in us, driving out sickness, driving out disease. We have a claim to healing and health like the world does not have. Amen. And we thank him for that. It's working in us. It's working in us. It's working in us. Amen.